This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Of course, and we prepare a game to be compact, but to play in the way we played, and we always, with part of the third goal in the counter-attack, we were in a good balance, we were in superiority as well, and they always win the space first than us. They were faster than us in that type of moments. About to the third goal, because it's a corner, in that moment our players at the box didn't have to stop that counter-attack, because that I talk about a tactical foul we should do, tactical free kick we should do in that moment. I'm not the right person to answer to you about the situation. Is you have to ask this situation, this question for different people, because I'm not the right person to talk about it.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
9 minutes after eight, Friday evening, that was Everton's Marco Silva. Or should I say Everton's ex-Marco Silva. Is that how you say it? Anyway, he was sacked this week, Marco Silva. Hi, I'm Ross. This is On The Ball. And in the studio with me, we've got Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bob. Great to be here on Friday, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Keshika is also here.
Hello, everyone.
And Craig Wilkie.
Good evening. Great to be here without a Scotland game to talk about.
yeah, you're all Liverpool tonight, aren't you? Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Instagram and on Facebook as well. We start with the leading big story of the week, the fact that Everton's Marco Silva sacked after a 5-2 defeat in the Merseyside derby. It was coming.
Yeah, he was a dead man walking, wasn't he?
Really, he was.
Yeah. I feel a bit sorry for him, though. I think even Everton fans do. I mean, he had terrible luck with injuries. I mean, this season alone, when you think of Gomez, who we saw trip up over Son Heung-min, wasn't it? And then, actually, it was his own step that caused that cruciate ligament, I think. He's out for the season.
Yeah, I think it was.
Fabian Delph, also injured. And Gamabin, the big signing at the start of the season, who was supposed to replace Idrissa Gueye. You know, he's hardly had a tune out of any of them, has he? And he's not helped himself, I suppose. He's the complete opposite of Jurgen Klopp. He's very undemonstrative. They've never come back from going behind under Marco Silva. That's a remarkable stat. So it either tells you the players are not really with the manager or they don't have enough drive themselves. So really, I think he probably wasn't as good as we all thought he was cracked up to be in the beginning.
Well, that's been the case over the last few weeks, hasn't it? Like you say, his neck's been on the block for quite a long time now. Results have been poor, but more so have been the performances. And Everton have been a shambles, frankly, for most of the season.
You say that, but I thought they were in it, even at 4-2 in the Merseyside derby.
They were in this game, surprisingly enough. And it was a bit of a strange game, because when we think back to Merseyside derbies of the last few seasons, they've been quite tight. They've been 1-0, they've been 0-0, and this one was kind of end-to-end. Everything was happening, but I think back to the point that you made, Bob, the players, knowing that the manager's been under pressure of late, they haven't exactly rallied to his cause, have they? I mean, I'm not going to say that they've quite downed tools, but there doesn't look like there's been a lot of spirit in that camp. It doesn't look like there's been a lot of leadership of somebody stepping up and saying, okay, come on, we're going to get a performance out of this team tonight. And I think this was inevitable now for several weeks.
Keshika, do you think it's a good thing
that Marco Silva has gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long time coming. The situation has been prolonged for so long. You're not going to find a different solution to it. So getting rid of him might actually make things, stir things up. They might be going, they might go bad first for a while, and then they might pick it back up.
Well, can I just say this amazing stat? I don't think many people will believe this, but Everton's starting 11 actually costs more than Liverpool's.
Yeah,
we all know how much Liverpool has spent. Spent a lot of money, but they have recouped. They've spent £410 million, and they've recouped 330. So it's a net spend of only £80 million under Jurgen Klopp, under not just Marco Silva, but under Moshiri's tenure. Everton have spent £465 million, and they've only recouped 255. So it's an absolutely massive difference.
The game itself, though, if you look at the starting 11s, like going into the game, you thought, wow, either Jurgen Klopp's being really brave here. Because he dropped some first-teamers, right? Firmino was on not in the starting 11 and Salah wasn't there. But heck, you've got Mane.
It helps. Let's spend a minute talking about Sadio Mane, because he has become, in the last 6 months, arguably since the start of 2019, by far, I would say, Liverpool's most influential player. And he was absolutely sensational in the derby. Everything he touched just had that bit of quality and that bit of class about it. And he seems to have added so much to his game. He's a goal threat every time he gets in a position in the box. He's now playing through balls. He's creating chances for his teammates. He's always worked so hard. He's always had pace. He's always had those parts to his game. And he's just become such a complete forward now. He's so difficult to defend against. And the point about the team selection, it's the December factor, isn't it, for Liverpool? It's now really become a squad game. I think they've got 9 fixtures over the course of this month,
yeah,
between the league, the cup and the Club World Cup. So Klopp's definitely going to have to use that whole squad. It worked fantastically with the likes of Shaqiri and Origi coming in. Actually, I've been a little bit surprised that those two haven't featured more heavily.
Origi's.
I think that's probably a function of I was going to say how well Liverpool have been playing, at least the results of Liverpool have been picking up because they haven't actually played brilliantly in the last couple of months. But this was, at least from an attacking point of view, this was a much better Liverpool performance.
Origi's two goals were superb. I thought Shaqiri is your ready-made EPL player. He'll step in and give you quality whenever he's asked to play, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it is quite amazing that he's hardly played. He made an impact around this time last year.
That's
and
right.
It looked like he was going to be, the answer, you know, that little bit of creativity that they lacked when Coutinho left, that sort of thing. But Klopp, it seems, very reluctant to play him. He has had injuries. His work rate isn't that great. I saw him even in the middle of the mayhem of the Merseyside derby. He was actually strolling back into position when everyone else was running around, as most noticeable. But he's really a class act, isn't he, on the ball, the way he took that goal. But Origi, yeah. The way he took that ball down over his shoulder.
Absolutely brilliant.
It was Messi-esque, wasn't it?
Messi-esque.
Fantastic, yeah.
Keshika, Duncan Ferguson is in temporary charge of Everton. Have you got in mind who you think would be an ideal Everton manager?
Initially, I thought someone like Allegri should come to EPL because we thought United was going to get him. But I'd rather Ole stay in United. So I would like to see him. Or maybe even Bielsa, if he's willing to leave his team.
Who would step into this Everton role and make it a success? It's a weird one. I can see Duncan keeping this job for a while. You know?
Big Dunk will put a bit of fear into the squad, that's for sure.
Otherwise, he'll elbow you.
Exactly.
Right?
He's not.
Well, there's David Moyes.
He seems to be the leading candidate in many ways.
I can hand on heart say that the majority of the Everton fans don't want that to happen.
We haven't asked Lynn.
No, she'll be spitting at you from where she is right now.
It says something about the status of the job right now, though, that the top tier managerial talent is not really looking at Everton and thinking that this is an attractive place to be, because frankly, the way things are right now, you are looking at a relegation battle and you don't know how that might turn out. I mean, they're not too big to go down. Let's make no mistake about that.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to have to come in, overhaul that squad again, probably more or less start from scratch. It's not very obvious who the candidate to do that is.
All right, more on Everton later. Let's just whiz our way through the midweek fixtures. Freddie Ljungberg's first game at the Emirates ended Arsenal 1, Brighton 2. It's not going very well in North London, in the red half of North London.
Well, he summed it up, didn't he? He said at half-time, he told them, "This is not Arsenal." And the players apparently agreed, but they still lost. No,
This is Arsenal now. That's the point.
It is. I think Troops has got a good chance of being the next manager, actually.
Who? Sorry, who?
Troops. You know him. Arsenal Fan TV.
Yeah, they've been a good watch lately. Brighton, we were saying that Graham Potter handed a 6-year contract, maybe, but you know, they know what they're doing there. They seem to, anyway.
Yeah, they're passing to each other. Brighton were never regarded as a as a great passing side. I mean, I think they're sort of making hay, aren't they? While the sun shines, taking advantage of Arsenal in their present state, and leaving themselves with a fighting chance of survival.
Hmm.
All credit to Brighton for that.
So, 1 point out of a possible six for Freddie Ljungberg, Arsenal interim manager. The big game, apart from the Merseyside derby midweek, was Jose Mourinho's return to Old Trafford. It ended Man United 2, Spurs 1. Marcus Rashford, Kashka, with a brace. He could have had more.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in the past few games, he missed so many chances. Easily in the past, I think, about three games.
Hmm.
He could have scored more than about eight goals across the three games.
We forget he's like 22 years old or something, right?
He's such an enigma, though. On his day, he just looks absolutely world-class and unstoppable. And then when he goes off the boil, he has this tendency that he goes missing in games, and once he goes missing, he never seems to find his way back. But when he's on form like he was in midweek, good luck stopping him because he was absolutely sensational.
One thing, Jose Mourinho paired Moussa Sissoko with Harry Winks, Bob, in the Spurs midfield. We know Pochettino tried that formula and he swiftly shot it out because it didn't work.
No, I don't think Mourinho has watched as many Spurs games as he makes out.
Or his team that he paid to work for him.
He doesn't have the Amazon subscription, that's the problem.
But I don't think this was too much of a disaster, actually. I think had Spurs won this, I mean, their fans might have been getting carried away, you know. I mean, he started quite well, even with this blip. And I think he's doing okay. This brings him back to earth a little bit. It's probably what he needed.
Elsewhere, we had Crystal Palace, 10-man Crystal Palace, beating Bournemouth 1-0. It's a win that pushes Palace up to 7th. Man City were 4-1 winners away at Burnley. Gabriel Jesus, they need him to step up because Aguero's out at the moment.
Yeah, they were impressive, weren't they? A bit more like the City of the last two seasons.
Definitely.
Warming up for the United derby.
Yeah. We should also mention Wolves. A bit under the radar, but a 2-0 win over West Ham in midweek pushes them up to 5th. Now, they've played like 197 games already so far this season. Nuno, of course, linked to the Arsenal job.
Yeah.
But why would he want to leave Wolves, who are up and coming, right?
Well, rightly linked, given the job that he's doing at the moment. Strange, it doesn't seem like that long since we were talking about Wolves struggling a little bit at the start of the season, but they've just turned it around
and they've gone
on this run of the last 8, 9, 10 games, and they're absolutely flying at the moment. The confidence in that squad is massive. They're scoring goals. Nobody really wants to go there. It's a difficult place for teams to go and play, and who knows how high they might finish this season.
Should also mention Leicester beat Watford 2-0, moving themselves up to 2nd. They've got a nice 3-point buffer between themselves and Man City. So the two-horse race now is Brendan Rodgers and Jurgen Klopp's teams.
Well, they're on a similar run to what they were when they won the league 3 years ago.
One point better off.
And Vardy is on a similar run to when he set that record scoring run, didn't he? Yeah.
Ever since Rebecca tweeted.
Well, I think it's every chairman now who's thinking about pulling the trigger and sacking a manager is looking at what's happened to Leicester under Rodgers and going, if I can get the right man in, look at the transformation that's possible. If you get a manager who can work with a group of players and who can really develop them, that's what Rodgers has proven at Leicester. There's not that many, I think, who can come in and do a job the way that he's done, as quickly as he's done. But that's definitely going to be in the thoughts of a lot of Premier League chairman right now.
Okay, wrapping up the midweek scores, should mention Sheffield United 0, Newcastle United 2 was a bit of a shocker. No one saw that coming. Shelby scoring 2 games in succession. Chelsea beat Aston Villa 2-1, the return of Tammy Abraham. Southampton 2-1 winners over Norwich. That's 2 straight wins that pulls them out of the bottom 3. That's your midweek football. We're going for a very, very short break, and we're going to be back previewing the weekend's football for you.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Love the return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Everton in 18th. Wow, relegation zone. Take on Chelsea in the Saturday early kickoff on Saturday. Chelsea, big news is that their transfer ban has been lifted by the Court of Arbitration of Sport. So the appeal worked. Is it a good thing? Because Frank's been motoring along very nicely. Now you give Frank the checkbook and the ability to sign, what will he do?
Yeah, well, I think everyone agrees that this ban was probably the best thing that's ever happened to Chelsea. Now it's been reduced. You're wondering if this decision is the worst thing that could possibly happen. But Lampard has already said that if they got it lifted, he would be prepared to spend money. So that means they've done their homework. They've obviously got one or two players lined up. They've got the money because they haven't spent any. So don't be surprised to see a couple of big signings coming in. But the question is, will they fit in? Will they gel? Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen to these youngsters who have been outstanding? People like Reece James and Tammy Abrahams. I mean, he's not going to want to be shoved aside for some big name signing, is he? Mm. And I don't think they will do that somehow.
He's found like a formula that works. So I feel like if you mess it up right now, especially by bringing maybe a big name in to a group of youngsters, it might mess up their whole momentum that they found this season.
Well, I mean, but if you look at the Chelsea squad, you'd say probably cover for Tammy Abraham is about the only place they need strengthening, maybe a central defender.
Yeah, I think there's a few places that could be strengthened. I would trust Frank to spend the money, in all honesty. At the start of the season, you were thinking about Chelsea. This is going to be a tough transition sort of a year. New manager coming in, the transfer ban, Hazard having left. And the job that he's done so far is pretty phenomenal, actually. Yeah. He's developed those young players. He's got them playing in a style that suits them, that he wants to play. Look at the way he's handled Pulisic coming in.
Big money signing.
Didn't put him straight into the team. He wanted to play the youngsters. He wanted to make sure that he was in the right frame of mind. He understood how the league worked, that he was ready to make his debut. And since he has, he's been fantastic. So I think Lampard can handle big name signings and he can fit them into the system that he wants to play.
And but Frank's going to have to get them conditioned for a Duncan Ferguson led Everton. You know it's going to be rough and tough. You know he's going to be working on those Everton players right now as we speak. And Everton have won, six of the last 10 home games against Chelsea. They've drawn one and lost only three. So at home, well, that's the old Everton, of course.
Yeah. Well, Big Dunk could have some effect, I think. The new manager bounce.
Yeah, yeah.
They bounce off him, don't they? But I don't think he's the long-term manager, is he?
I
think he can do a job for the short term until they get somebody.
Should Everton be looking for?
Well, this is, we said earlier, you know, they're not looking at an absolute top-flight guy. Like, you know, you're not really looking for the Pochettinos or Allegris of this world, are you?
No.
So who? Yeah, well, you're looking a little bit down the market a bit, aren't you?
Maybe your Eddie Howes and all that.
Well, yeah, Eddie Howe, at some point, he's got to make a decision.
Exactly.
That, you know, he's not going to get any further at Bournemouth. He's done a great job.
And you look at the state they're in right now.
Yeah, Eddie Howe might be a good bet, actually. Someone like that, yeah.
Speaking of Eddie Howe, his Bournemouth side take on Liverpool. Bournemouth are 14th. Liverpool are on this amazing, 32 game run, unbeaten, winning.
Feels like 100 games, doesn't it?
You got to take your hat off to Jurgen Klopp. I mean, what he did in the Merseyside derby, he rested the first teamers. He knows his squad. He knows the depth of his squad. And you can't really bet against Liverpool in this Bournemouth-Liverpool tie, can you?
Well, no. Liverpool are on such a good run and Bournemouth is pretty much the opposite. You know, they're having a pretty tough time of things right now.
Four on the bounce, right? Four losses on the bounce.
Like you say, Klopp is, he understands his squad. He's using his squad now as he has to. I think there is depth. That's really one of the things that Klopp has built over the last couple of seasons, that he has players who can come off the bench and change a game or start a game to give other people a rest. Liverpool, as I said before, I don't think their form has actually been as good this season as it was last season. I don't think they've been dominating games. They've not been blowing teams away in that manner that they were. You know, it used to be they'd go 2-3 goals up after 20 minutes and just kill a game off. I haven't seen them do that for a long time. The derby was, I think, a bit better, a bit more fluency in terms of going forward. And so Liverpool will be looking to build on that. And actually, they could really use a clean sheet defensively as well.
Yeah, a bit more suspect as well. There hasn't been one. Yeah, yeah. 100th win for Klopp in the Merseyside derby, achieved in the 159th game. Only Jose Mourinho has reached that landmark 100 wins faster than Jurgen Klopp. He's on his way to... In the same breath, you can say Jurgen Klopp, Bill Shankly.
Yeah. Are you coming to that? Yeah.
Well, if they win the title, they got more than one hand on it at the moment, right?
Yeah, they have. I mean, he's doing a fantastic job, obviously. Probably the best manager in the world right now. And Liverpool have got the knack of winning by the odd goal. And there is a knack to that. Not playing that well. We all know the old cliche about winning when you're not playing well as a sign of a champions. Well, they've got it off to a fine art. I mean, practically every game they only win by one goal.
Well,
but there's a precedent for that. Arsenal. Remember the old chant? Mm-hmm. Arsenal 1-0. 1-0 to the Arsenal.
And then the back four with the hand up. Yeah.
Well, Liverpool is 2-1.
I mean, but it's enough. It doesn't have quite the same ring to it.
No. But it's enough. And to turn it on like that against Everton, although it wasn't 100% convincing, they still won 5-2.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Just one more thing. Eddie Howe has got a chance to impress Everton here, you know. They will, if he can somehow engineer a Bournemouth win, this will be noticed in Everton.
Wouldn't you also put Sean Dyche in that bracket? Eddie Howe, Sean Dyche, you think they've done practically all that they can for Bournemouth and Burnley, respectively, already, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next up then, we're talking about Spurs.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the Ball on BFM 89.9.
In the studio with Kashika, Bob and Craig Wilkie. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. It's BFM Football. Spurs take on Burnley. It's 8th versus 12th. Mourinho handed his first defeat already. Straight after that, there was some Jose out. Social media is just, it's terrible. But, they got to win this, and based on form, Spurs should cruise this one.
They should. I think Mourinho already in, what is it, 4 games that he's had in charge, has seen all aspects of Spurs this season.
He's turned Dele Alli around.
Oh, he has. I mean, Dele Alli has been by far the biggest beneficiary of Mourinho coming in. You can see that he's put his arm around him, he's given him the confidence. He said, go out and play like you know you can, son, and he's really responded to that. You know, sort of father-like figure almost, I think, bringing him back to confidence. But I think the key for Mourinho when he's looking at that side and how they're playing of late is they need to tighten up defensively. There's enough attacking talent in that side when you've got Kane, when you've got Dele Alli back in form, but they're conceding far too many goals and sloppy goals as well. Hmm. And Mourinho, that's really his bread and butter is getting a back four organised, disciplined. So I expect to see that as the emphasis for Spurs over the next 2 or 3 months.
Do you reckon Mourinho will sign players in January, Kashika?
I think he will. Spurs need a few players, right? And Daniel Levy said that he's prepared to let Mourinho buy in players. So I don't see why not Mourinho sign anyone.
They need a couple of fullbacks, I know that for sure.
I think part of the reason that he was appointed is that he'll attract bigger name players. I mean, even the talk of potentially Bale going back is only because Mourinho's in charge. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, the pictures from the first day of Mourinho at training at Spurs, you could see the players looking and they were almost a little bit in awe, as if to say, wow, Mourinho is here coaching us. You know, he still has that sort of level of appeal and gravitas in the game. And I think the chances of Spurs signing bigger name players as a consequence of him being there is definitely real.
There is a big caveat here. The big but is the fact that Spurs have conceded twice in each of Jose Mourinho's 4 matches in charge. They haven't done it in 5 games since David Pleat was in charge. And that was back in February 2004.
He's a contender for the Everton job.
Well, he hasn't brought the bus with him, has he?
London buses don't just, they don't come when double you want them to. You know what I mean? They come double three decker. At a time and stuff like that.
No, well, he hasn't got his first-choice keeper, has he? Although Gazzaniga's not done too badly. At fault, possibly, for that one in the near post. But apart from that, he's done okay.
Your cynical football fans, like Des Corkill, will say, what is the point of a team like Burnley? Because every season, their ambition is to get 40 points off 38 games. And they don't do much else.
No, well,
isn't that right, Des?
Their fans would say there's a lot of point to a team like that.
I agree with you, Bob. It's Des.
Yeah. I mean, I get Des's point as well, but not everybody can be a Liverpool supporter, can they? You know, it's remarkable that Burnley are in the Premier League and have stayed there for a few years, given the size of the place, the ground, everything, the budget. Most importantly, the budget is practically nothing. And yet they somehow are a Premier League club. And the fans are very pleased about this, obviously. The moment they go down, they bounce back up. They went down once 3 or 4 years ago, straight back up. Mm. So, you know, there's a point to Burnley, yes.
That's exactly the point, isn't it? It's almost become a criticism that they're now comfortably mid-table in the Premier
average.
League, which is a phenomenal achievement. And you mentioned Sean Dyche. Is he a candidate for other jobs, maybe bigger jobs? He's actually one of those guys who, for some reason, is not in fashion. You know, he's seen as a little bit old school, maybe, or could he handle the bigger name
a
players?
A younger Roy Hodgson, is that what you're saying?
Possibly. But, you know, it feels to me like he's earned a shot at something else if
absolutely.
He wanted it.
Absolutely. All right, Spurs versus Burnley is a Saturday 11 o'clock kickoff. Aston Villa in 16th take on second place Leicester City. Leicester are looking to make it 8 wins on the bounce. Amazing. They're Jamie Vardy driven, as they were in their championship title winning season. They're good. All is going well. Brendan Rodgers is being talked up for all the big jobs right now.
Yeah, including Arsenal.
Yeah.
But he said he wouldn't go there. But
no, why would he, really, right?
I think Celtic fans might have an opinion on that.
But he's got a clause in the contract again, apparently.
Yeah. If he leaves Leicester before the end of the season, his name will be absolute mud. Mm-hmm. Won't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he wouldn't dare
I don't
put
think
his
he will.
Head up.
Why would you go to Arsenal right now versus taking this Leicester side, potentially the Champions League? What it looks like.
I'm going to throw this out there. Brendan Rodgers for Manchester United, Kashika, would that work?
I still feel like you should give Ole a chance. I think Brendan Rodgers is fine where he is in Leicester because Leicester is a team full of potential. It's just that the past couple of seasons since they won the title, they couldn't find the right direction, especially after firing Ranieri. But I think Brendan Rodgers is the right guy to challenge for the title, especially against Liverpool.
All right, let's have a quick look at Aston Villa, currently 16th. One win in the last six matches. It's imperative that Aston Villa do not get relegated this season. Do you think they're good enough to stay up?
Yeah, I think so. I think they've got a very good manager.
Yeah.
One of an increasing number of English managers who are actually making a bit of a name for themselves after a long time.
A fan of the club.
A genuine fan of the club, yeah, unsung. I think he's got them organised, and they haven't spent a lot of money, even though they've got rich owners, so that's a good sign. They chose him, David Smith, over Thierry Henry, came from Brentford. I mean, hardly got the glamour of Henry, but a wise decision given what happened to Henry in his first job. And Leicester struggled a bit. They won in the end over Watford, 2-0. They needed an injury time goal to clinch it and a dubious penalty. But showed a few signs of maybe struggling a bit to keep this run up at this lofty altitude. So I see Aston Villa having a bit of a shot here. It's a Midlands derby.
Exactly. They're at home.
Yeah. I think Villa have got a chance here.
Are you suggesting that Brendan Rodgers wasn't a boyhood Leicester fan, Bob?
No, he's not quite as bad as Robbie Keane. He was the one, right? He had about 55 clubs, didn't he? He supported.
True.
Jamie Vardy leads the scoring charts with 14 goals. Should he go back to international football? Because he said he didn't want to play a bit part, right? But don't you think he's more on form than Harry Kane at the moment, isn't he?
Well, he would still be playing the bit part, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
you know,
true.
There's no way he'd be starting in front of Harry Kane.
Yeah. Mm. Aston Villa versus Leicester then is your Sunday 10 p.m. kickoff. We talk about Brighton next. Brighton, who are 13th, play Wolves, who are 5th. Wolves are actually on a 10-match unbeaten run. The last time they lost was in September. In that 10-match unbeaten run, they've won 5, they've drawn 5. We've spoken briefly about Nuno Espirito Santo, and he's a good manager, right? He looks charming in his pre-match, post-match interviews. He's very likable as well.
He is, yeah. Speaks very well. Been mentioned for the Arsenal job. Again, another Portuguese. They seem to make managers, don't they, in Portugal?
How important is it for Wolves to keep hold of Nuno?
Very.
I think it's very important. The job he's done there. We thought 10 games unbeaten in this league is an achievement for anybody. And actually, the last few seasons, the Premier League has come in for a little bit of criticism about, you know, the Big Six, and is there too much of a disparity between them and the rest, and how hard it is to break into all of that. And partly because some of the big clubs are struggling. You look at Arsenal, even Spurs this season. But to see a team like Wolves playing the way they are and in the position that they are, Leicester as well, I think it's really good for the league.
All right, elsewhere, Watford versus Crystal Palace. Palace, we didn't mention. Midweek, they won with 10 men. They're rolling along nicely. Uncle Watt is doing a great job. Watford, though, Watford.
Well, they messed it up, didn't they?
Haven't they got a few more managers to sack before the season's end?
bring back Xavi Gracia. I mean, that's what they've done, isn't it, in the past? Several managers at Watford have had two goes at it. No, they it's the players. It's not the manager. I mean, both of those guys, the last two managers, Kiki Sanchez Flores and Xavi Gracia, were hailed as heroes and did a pretty good job.
Were they given enough time?
No, of course they weren't. I mean, Gracia was sacked. What? About
four games into the season.
Into it, wasn't he? Yeah. Ridiculous. They should buy them some decent players.
Do you reckon they go back to Gracia?
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't rule it out, would you?
Because it's Watford, right?
It's Watford, yeah.
Newcastle. We spoke briefly about Steve Bruce. What a great job he's done. Newcastle are 11th. They take on Southampton. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. 2 o'clock in the UK on a Sunday. They're going great at the moment, Newcastle. Who would have seen this, right?
Well, not the Newcastle fans. When Steve Bruce was announced, it didn't go down too well, did it?
Well, an interview last week, Steve Bruce said, you know, he gets nothing but good words when he walks around Newcastle City Centre. Maybe he only hangs around one particular part of Newcastle.
I think he's a big enough personality to handle it. There was a lot of scepticism about his appointment. It was going to be a tough job for whoever came in after Rafa, and because of how much the fans loved him. And even though the fans loved him so much, you're still taking over in pretty difficult circumstances. You know, Newcastle didn't have a great season last season. The squad has had, you know, a little bit of investment in it, but it still lacks in a lot of areas. So you're going to come in and you know it's going to be a tough season, but Bruce has got them organised. He's got them working hard. He's got them looking a little bit more threatening in an attacking sense than we might have expected. And they're picking up results. There's a bit of confidence now. It's a pretty good job he's done so far.
What about Southampton for you, Keshika? They're 17th. I know they've had two wins. They pulled it out. Is Hassan Huttle doing all right for you?
I think they started out the season with big potential, but they somehow slipped down. I don't see how they can come back from falling down to 17th.
They needed to win those two games because they were against the lower place sides, and they did, to Hassan Huttle's credit. Now it's Newcastle away. All right, let's move on. Talk about Norwich against Sheffield United. Sheffield United's 2-0 loss to Newcastle was a shocker because it was at home, where they know they're quite strong at home. I don't want to say bubbles burst, but has the bubble burst?
He really doesn't want to say it.
Notice I said it in a different accent. Different tone.
Well, they were riding their luck a bit, I think. You know, they were up to fifth, weren't they?
But what a signing, Lys Mousset. Who thought Lys Mousset had goals in him?
Well, Eddie Howe didn't spot him, did he?
Eddie Howe tried to give him, to be fair to him. But, great signing, because he scored five goals, he set up three. He's worth eight goals for Sheffield United, and wow, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, Chris Wilder, another English unsung manager.
Another fan of the club.
A fan of the club has done wonders there, hasn't he? But I think they may still struggle. I think they'll have a fight to survive. I think they'll do it, but they might just slump a little.
There's a few teams we could say that about, though. It already looks as though it's going to be very tight at the bottom when we get another 2 or 3 months into the season. There's going to be a lot of teams within 3-4 points of each other. Home form is going to become so important. And if you can win those six-pointer games against the teams around you, that's what's going to guarantee survival for some of them.
It's massive for Norwich City. I mean, they're second bottom. They're 3 points ahead of Watford. You'd think they've got to win this one, right? But will they? Mm. Are they candidates to go down, Norwich?
Oh, they've always been candidates, yeah. But they are capable of surprises, as Man City discovered. That was one of the shocks of the season, wasn't it? They score goals. They don't really fear anybody. They haven't got any sort of inferiority complex or anything. Give it a go. So I'd say they're a 50-50.
But
that's what gives them a chance for me. The fact that they're still scoring goals still keeps you in the mix, because you can pick up 3 points instead of one when you're doing that.
Is it because Coach Daniel Farker has this policy of we play attractive attacking football? And don't you have to be a little bit pragmatic and think, you know what I mean? It's Christmas time, it's the Premier League, let's get a bit more solid and nil-nil, grind out a nil-nil or 1-0 win. Because Norwich don't do that, do they?
They don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think there's this sense of, well, if you play attacking football, it means you're inevitably going to leave yourself open at the back. And definitely they need to tighten up a little bit, and they're going to have to grind out a few results if they're going to stay up. So I'm sure he'll be looking at that over the next few months. But you've got to give them credit for, he has a style of play that he wants to implement. He's come up a league and he's decided we're going to still play like that. And they've been involved in some exciting games as a consequence of that. Even the Manchester United game a few weeks ago was a pretty good game.
Yeah. All right, another wee short break. Very wee. Come back, it's the Manchester Derby.
It is a fine goal.
Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
And we're back. Man United, Man City, or rather Man City, Man United, is a late Saturday, early Sunday morning game. 1:30, that one kicks off. It's the second huge Premier League clash for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Man United. I mean, the big news for the Spurs game was that McTominay came back in. And when he came back in, you saw how Fred's game improved. Right, Keshika?
Mm-hmm. I think the McTominay-Fred partnership in midfield is really what really helped Rashford to not worry about it and go up front and actually attack and score goals. So if we keep the same midfield this time around, I don't see why we can't do what we did in midweek this weekend as well.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is still under pressure, despite what everyone says, because Pochettino hasn't got a job and you know, United were pursuing him before Solskjaer. You feel that one bad loss, like if City should thrash United this weekend, it'll all be over, right?
For sure he's still under pressure. And I think he should still be under pressure, in all honesty. It seems as though when he gets under pressure, he digs out a result from somewhere and gives a bit of hope back to the place. And I think there is still a lot of backing for him. I think in the dressing room there's still a lot of backing for him. I think the club hierarchy is still behind him. I question the extent to which that should still be the case. I don't really see him as a solution long term. I still feel as though if it weren't for the fact that he was a club legend, there's absolutely no way he would be in a job like that. But he is developing the young players a little bit. I think he's made some sensible decisions in terms of the players that he's moved on early in the season, even though he now needs to go on and replace those, whether that's in January or whether that's next summer. But if you have the chance to bring Pochettino in or somebody else of that calibre, then yeah, it's always going to be hanging over Ole until he can go on. The consistency is the thing. You know, he'll get one big result, and then can you back it up two or 3 weeks afterwards? And that's what we haven't seen yet from Manchester United this season. So that's why this is a huge game. But it's a much bigger, more exciting game as a consequence of United beating Spurs.
Well, they're looking for back-to-back wins for the first time since March, for goodness sake. two wins. Hello, two wins.
Well, I think you can say that if Ole was to pull off a win here, the Etihad, I think the pressure might just be off him for at least two games.
Yeah.
But United,
he might be all right for Christmas.
Yeah. United better start thinking of an alternative to Pochettino, because if they've put all their eggs in that basket, it's far from certain. I mean, you hear conflicting stories about where he's going next. Some have said that he wants to come back straight away. Others have said he wants a job in the continent. He's not a linguist. He only speaks Spanish and English, and he took a while to learn English. Yeah. So, you know, he's not likely to go to Germany or France even. So it's either Spain or back to the Premier League. But he may fancy a shot at a club on the continent. I mean, Barcelona have not, you know, it's not been ruled out just because he managed Espanyol in the same city, the rivals.
He did say once.
It's, you know, it's not impossible for him to go there.
No.
Real Madrid probably are the pole sitters at the moment. So far from certain. So who would you get if you were United? If you can't get Pochettino, who would you go for?
It has to be a Max Allegri or someone like that, or a German, a young Klopp.
David Wagner.
Yeah. Mm. There's that Leipzig guy, right?
Nagelsmann or something.
All right, let's talk about Pep and Man City. They're third. They're 11 points off the pace of Liverpool. Is that a surprise, first of all?
Definitely a surprise. They've just looked a little bit more vulnerable this season. Some of the aura has gone. I think it's largely a defensive vulnerability.
It's a Laporte missing
definitely
problem.
That's the you think about how expensively and carefully that squad has been assembled, and to have as gaping a hole in it as appears to be the case at centre half is really troubling, I think, for the City hierarchy. And that's teams have now figured out that you can get at City, you can attack them, and you will score goals, and that's put them under pressure. At the same time, the relentlessness of Liverpool's winning, you know, we talked about this earlier, of digging out results, of, you know, always somehow coming up with a 2-1 even late in the game. These City guys, they still feel the pressure, and I think it's just become, you know, there's been some strange points dropped this season, but they will bounce back. I mean, the thing is, I think they'll go on a run, but I don't see them going on a 14-game winning streak like they did to clinch the title last season. So that's why I think the way Liverpool are playing, the momentum that Liverpool have, 11 points is a long way behind right now.
Do we think Pep Guardiola will be Man City manager next season?
So that's the big question, isn't it? Again, conflicting stories. He's built a house. I mean, that suggests long-term, doesn't it? Yet he's.
We haven't seen the house.
We haven't seen the house. He looked in. Was it the Liverpool game? He actually looked as if he needed a break, didn't he? He seemed to lose the plot in that game
twice.
Definitely a sabbatical was on the cards there. Very hard to call that one. I think if they win, say they win the Champions League,
he would leave happily.
I think so, but I don't think they will actually.
No,
they're not equipped to win the Champions League. You need a centre back to win the Champions League then, for a start.
But then you look at it. This year is probably the best year to try for the Champions League, because you've got a weakened Barcelona, you've got a weakened Real Madrid, right? Hmm. You've got a Bayern who can be beaten, you know? And
Liverpool's absolute priority is the Premier League.
And Liverpool don't,
If it comes to that, Klopp will rest players in the Champions League and play them on the weekend.
Hmm. So Liverpool might not even be in it.
So how will Pep come into this Manchester derby then?
Oh, he'd be confident. I think he would have been taken quite a lot of encouragement from that midweek performance. Because they seem to click there, didn't they?
Raheem Sterling's the best he's ever been this season. I mean, he's almost the complete forward attacking player, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he hasn't quite got Bernardo Silva up to the level he was at last season. Yeah, he was absolutely phenomenal. And David Silva is winding down slowly. I think this is last season.
This is last season, yeah.
But De Bruyne, I mean, he's...
when you got Kevin De Bruyne,
isn't he?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I think Pep's belief has always been we'll score more goals than we'll concede. But it's not worked out so far this season, has it? With such a weakness at the back, it undermines the whole team.
And if you think their problems predominantly because of the fact that they didn't want to pay big money for players, but they've been buying 50 million fullbacks, right? Mm. They didn't want to go the extra 10 million for Harry Maguire, apparently. And I read this week that Pep Guardiola said, I'm not going to sign players in January, but you need a central defender.
Mm. Yeah.
At the time, everybody said 75 million for Van Dijk. There were eyebrows raising. That's a lot of money for a centre back. It looks like a bargain now, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so does City need to go and well, we know they need a defender. Who would be an ideal Man City signing in January?
Well, yeah. I think the Leicester guy.
Çalhanoğlu,
Turkish centre-back. Probably. He's Farquhar. Been mentioned. Because he's not cup-tied.
And he'll come relatively cheap.
Well, Leicester can drive a hard bargain, can't they? You know, they've got their own ambitions. I mean, if they lost him, they're basically saying we're taking the money rather than the title. I mean, they fancy themselves. They've done it before. If they can hold on to all their players, you know, they've got an outside chance.
Will they?
Well, I don't know. If they lose to Liverpool on Boxing Day, that is now looking like the decisive game, isn't it?
Assuming they keep winning until Boxing Day as well.
Well,
right?
Boxing Day is still in December. They still have a few days to decide before the transfer window opens.
Yeah.
If they lost that game and ended up, say, 13 or 14 points behind Liverpool, they might decide, OK, we're not going to win the title. We'll sell him.
And also in 10 days' time, Liverpool are going to be playing on another continent in the Club World Cup. How's that going to affect top of the table, do you reckon?
Hard to say right now. I mean, we talked earlier about the strength and depth now of Liverpool's squad.
It seems fine going into it, right?
It seems fine, but it's still going to be disruptive. I'm sure Klopp doesn't really fancy that trip at this stage of the season and the sort of complications that it might cause. But as I said before, what Liverpool have in their favour right now is momentum. And once you get that confidence, you have that feeling of every time you go out, you believe you're going to win. I think they should. And they have a run of fixtures which should be manageable. Actually, I was looking at it up to the City game. Liverpool had quite a tough run of fixtures up until including that game.
Mm.
Afterwards, between then and Christmas, it looks kind of okay. Where City was sort of the opposite. They had some easier games in the build-up to that Liverpool game. And between then and the end of the year, they've actually got a tougher set of fixtures. So I think if Liverpool can maintain this type of lead going into January, then they're looking very, very good.
All right. Well, the Manchester Derby is third versus sixth. It's your late Saturday game. So it's 1:30 Sunday morning that one kicks off. We've got about a couple of minutes left of the show, so we're going to get a few predictions now from the chaps and chapess.
Time for the big weekend shout.
We're going to start with the chapess. Keshka, what's your big shout? United to trounce City in the
Yes.
Really?
Yep, exactly. I think United
Ole
can beat
Ole's at
City.
The wheel.
Yep.
Trounce. That's a very big shout if it's going to be a trounce.
Well, this will be a big week, right? If Ole Yep. wins that. And do you think he should be at the wheel? Do you think he should stay? Do you think he's the man?
I always believe that he should stay. He just needs a bit more time. And I think people exaggerate a lot. I think he's completely fine and comfortable where he is, and we can improve with him as our manager.
The only question mark I have over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is the fact that he thinks Andreas Pereira is a footballer. I'm not even sure he's Brazilian. Do you know what I mean?
Well, he thought that of Fred when he's turning out.
Well, yeah, but Andreas has been there longer. No, but Fred, 52 million. I mean, yeah, he's got to be something, right? Craig, what's your big shout?
Okay, I'm going to have to take Everton against Chelsea. They need a lift from somewhere, and out of loyalty to Big Dunk, Duncan Ferguson, who used to play, of course, for my beloved Dundee United. In fact, when we sold him, which I think was for £4 million to Rangers back in the day, we were able to build a stand as a consequence of that. So it was a big moment back in Dundee when we sold Big Dunk. And he'll definitely get the players fired up, and who knows what sort of a reaction. I think they might get something against Chelsea.
That's actually a big shout. Bob, what are you going for?
I'll go for Aston Villa to burst the Brendan Rodgers bubble, stop Leicester in their tracks, and leave Liverpool, hopefully, with a 14 insurmountable lead.
Yeah. Now, wow, yeah. If that happens, that would be probably it before Christmas. Can we close shop? Can we then go to Langkawi? I don't know. All right, that's your big weekend shout.
Tune in next week for more big weekend shouts.
Oh, I forgot to ask, who's going to win the boxing?
Joshua.
Ruiz.
Ruiz. And
Joshua.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Two Joshuas, one Ruiz. So there you go. It's not just all about football. That's it. We're out of time. Listen, have a great weekend. Back on Monday to talk about the weekend's football. For now, it's many thanks, Keshika.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Bob.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Some people are on the pitch. They think it's all over. It is done.
Follow BFM Football on Facebook and catch On the Ball next Friday on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.